episode 38, Mr. Caruso. And I just wanted to start officially a petition to change Jake Waterman's surname to Jake Waterman, because the bloke is on fire.
Nice stuff, repeating your jokes, mate. You clearly like that one you made last week.
Did I say that last week?
Yeah, you did.
Well, still, official petition, but I also wanted to touch base on some news, concerning news. Was contacted this week by the parent of someone we had on last week, and it is concerning because they said that we did not have consent. We had not requested the consent of a parent or guardian from our resident expert last week, who was, of course, if you listened, a prepubescent child. And just wanted to apologize to their parents. So hopefully next time they come on, we can get some consent forms signed.
I think that's a bit rough. We've had Jacob take time out of his day to do that for us, and you're just slagging him off again.
He's a big man or a small girl.
Jacob, I don't condone this, by the way. I really appreciate what you did for us. So just to let you know.
Nah, thanks for coming on, Jacob. And we're all better off for it because we all know what a score launch is. But let's get into round 8, mate. Let's do it.
You're missing your allogram, champion. You got too excited.
I did get too excited. And now I'm going to give you my allogram for the week. Get your pens, get your paper, get your notes open. I'm going to give it to you now. And this week's allogram is Dr. DR, that is DR. Log, L-O-G, one that you put on the toilet, and Unreal, but U-N-R-E-E-L. So real, like Instagram. Dr. D-R, L-O-G, Unreal, U-N-R-E-E-L. Any early thoughts on that? Early guesses from you? I won't tell you if you're right.
Nah, might need a little bit for this one.
Can give you tips as the episode rolls on. But let's get into it, mate. What a round it was, round 8, the rivalry round.
It doesn't get any better than that, champion. I'll tell you what. Get a big dog up your Collingwood. You fucking deserve it.
Yes, mate. Is that actually what it was called, rivalry round?
No, it's the name I'm giving it, though, because that seems like a good fit.
Fair enough, man. But yeah,
there was medals everywhere, wasn't there? It was fucking like a game of Medal of Honor.
Yeah, no, you're right. Do we want to get into the round first, or I reckon I want to bring up some news from an amateur league before we get into the AFL?
Do it, mate. We all love your news segments.
Thanks, mate. Well, there was a bit of a historic day in one of the local Adelaide leagues, Division 6 of the Adelaide Football League. And there was a game between Elizabeth and Fitzroy that happened,
oh,
right?
That's
an
Adelaide league, is it?
Yeah, it was an Adelaide league.
I thought that was here.
Div 6, so the bottom of the top flight amateurs league that you can get. Yeah, there's been some news gone around, well, not news, but a lot of debate gone around that there needs to be introduced a mercy rule in the amateur leagues of footballing competition.
What was the score?
There's been some really fucking big scores. Mate, there was discussions that arose from a game last week where a team beat their opponent by 317 points to 0.
Wow.
Okay. And that was when they wanted to introduce the mercy rule. This game, Elizabeth kicked none, no goals, no points. So
not
that was
even
zero.
A point. How do you not kick a point in a game?
Not even a point, right? Fitzroy kicked 113 points in the first quarter. Okay.
Fuck. What do you say in the team talk at quarter time if you're the loser team's coach? How do you pick your players up after that?
You don't. Surely you go, boys, let's pack them up. We'll get out of here quick. Anyway, so that was the first quarter, 113 points. That's 21 goals in the first quarter. Mate, the game ended. Fitzroy, 82 goals, 24, 516 to zero.
I feel flat for you. You spent all that time rehabbing your hammy to get back as quick as you can to play for Elizabeth, and you've had no impact on the game whatsoever.
Mate, that's almost a goal a minute.
That's... when you put it like that, it's not that bad.
Do you... So yeah, like I said, there's a lot of chatter about bringing in a mercy rule. Do you subscribe to that or not?
I think it should be up to the players. Yeah, there should be some sort of mercy rule where you can maybe halftime you've got to at least play a half, and then you can go, we don't want to play the second half. You can have it double your score, whatever you got.
Yeah, so they're suggesting that like it gets to a certain point where you don't. Count the score anymore. Or what they used to do in juniors, I remember, is like if you were beating a team by so much at halftime, you needed to switch positions around. So Batman needed to go forward and forwards needed to go back. But I feel like at that point, you're still going to get creeped. Like surely those players will still be good enough to kick goals. Like it's not juniors anymore. Do you know what I mean?
What about you get to pick three of the opposition's players to swap? You get to swap three.
That could be fun. But, like, who's going to do that? Like, it's
yeah, it gets a bit
it's
silly,
relatively
it?
Serious competition at this level. Like, you
clearly.
Yeah, clearly. But, like, you know, there's promotion and relegation on the line. So I don't think you're going to be willing to go play for the... Imagine if Elizabeth have gone, yeah, we want Fitzroy's three best players for the next half. Like, surely they're not going to put their hand up and go, yeah, I'll do that.
I tell you what, this is a setback for Elizabeth's promotion hopes, that's for sure. in all fairness and in all honesty, it's not fair for a whole town in Fitzroy to play one chick anyway. Like, if the town of Fitzroy is playing against Elizabeth, who probably lives just outside of Fitzroy, then that's unfair. That's 1v22, is it?
Oh, you're a fucking idiot. I just got what you meant. Yeah, it was the Queen versus Fitzroy.
She's dead, R.I.P. Jesus. No wonder she didn't put up much of a fight.
Fitz and Roy were fucking odd one, weren't they?
Oh, that's rough. That is very rough. Was that the first team or the Rezzies?
Nah, that was first team. I want to know what the Rezzies was. Sure, surely they don't have a Rezzies team.
No, yeah, maybe not. But yeah, what a scoreline.
Anyway, let's move into round 8. What do you got for us, mate?
What have I got? I wanted to talk about... We saw a moment of silence and... Some words said by an announcer. I don't know if it was a pre-recorded message or if there was someone saying it at each game, discussing gender-based violence, which very, very impactful thing to raise awareness for, because obviously it's just terrible throughout the world, not just in this country, gender-based violence and the inequality in the violence numbers. But I wanted to know if this was enough, what the AFL did. Is it a start to do this? Is it good enough from them? Is there a better way they could have done it, in your opinion?
I don't want to get too political because this was something I reflected on a lot during the week. And it's, in general, we're not doing enough at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nowhere near. And we're not even discussing the important things, right? For me... There needs to be a complete upheaval within male culture, and it takes for a lot of men to actually be accountable and come out and be honest about their behavior and then actually discuss that openly and then talk about things to change. So there's a lot of, I don't know, I'm pretty, I like that there is, don't get me wrong, I like that there is some acknowledgement now, and I'd like what the AFL doing just to put it into the public eye is positive in general. Like, having that awareness is great. But yeah, there needs to be so much more done. And that, yeah, it's actually upset me a little bit how easy it's been for men to just jump on the bandwagon of supporting without actually doing the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's my main issue. I think raising awareness and just having this sort of time at a game, especially in a male-dominated sport, is a good thing in terms of raising awareness. But it is not the only thing and should be very much the start of something bigger. Otherwise, it's useless and pointless. But I had issue with the way it happened. Like, a moment of silence. Like, it felt a lot like... you know, when you do the minute of silence for the Anzacs or whatever, like, very much like, oh, this happens and we'll just take our time to reflect on that. Not like
a symbol of change.
Like, obviously, the war was years ago and we reflect on those that lost their lives during that in the Anzac minute of silence. I don't know if this should be viewed in the same way as that. That feels like not proactive.
I actually agree with you there, because we're a weird species in the way we like have traditions and the way we need to acknowledge things. And like you just mentioned, maybe for like stuff that's happened in the past as a reflection thing, then yeah, that's good. But you're right. There needs to be something, some new tradition that's more proactive in place, where it's like we're actually doing something.
Mm. At least
like have AFL players speak in front of thousands of people and actually talk about an experience they've had when they've probably done the wrong thing and what they're doing to actually get better at that. Mm. So then young men can go, oh, okay, yeah, I've actually done that before. That's wrong, but this guy's a mentor and a leader, so maybe I should do now what he's saying he's doing to become better.
Yeah, something more interactive, something educational. Even something more impactful 100%. In terms of the message, like have pictures of women who've lost their lives as a result of like gender-based violence on everyone's seats. So you put a face to it and you go, oh, wow, that makes it a bit more real. I understand that's a random thing I've just come up with, but there was more impactful ways of doing this and I hope they build on those things.
I think it's time we need to become more explicit with things too.
Mm.
Like, they want to protect children from like, you know, sensitive information and like the violent nature of it. But that is the nature of it.
Mm.
I think the way forward is by allowing our kids to know those things, to be more educated about what actually is going on.
Yeah, we learn about Jack the Ripper as kids and things like that, and it's almost glamorized. Like,
yeah,
100%. Some of these dreadful people. And yeah, I think there's other ways to do it. I like the message and I like the awareness of it, but it has to be the tip of the iceberg.
My main irk is how many of these footballers, because I know a lot of people on my social media that I know that have been sharing their support, right? I know them to have, you know, been very misogynistic, right? Or displayed very misogynistic behaviors, right? So how many of these footballers that are showing their support in these, you know, on social media or whatever, because they're footballers, how many of them are actually going to be willing to change and show accountability, or how many of them are just like doing it for the status?
Yeah, I agree. And that's a very important question.
And then continuing to perpetuate the male toxicity, you know. And I think AFL and sport in general is one of the biggest forms where these issues arise from.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think there needs to be a big platform for change within that particular sport.
Violence is the perpetuation of the culture that exists, and the culture that is ingrained, this male toxicity is ingrained mainly in sport. So Yeah, if anyone listens to this, like, I urge people to fucking be honest about the behavior that they've displayed. I'm not perfect. I've displayed behavior that needs to change. I've done things that definitely contributes to that misogynistic behavior, and I'm doing what I can to change that. And I just want everybody to be open and honest about it. That's how you get better, is actually acknowledging it. So yeah.
Definitely. I think you've said that well. So let's get into the week that was round 8. Kick us off, mate, with the showdown. Come on. You can glow. You can glow about your boys. We Flyers won today on this episode, don't we?
What a game. What a fucking ripping game. If you're a Crow supporter, for a neutral, it was probably quite boring.
I was going to say it was pretty shit. It was underwhelming as a contest, but Crows showed up and they should be, excited about that.
Mate, we've showed up for the last four showdowns.
How many in a row? All. Yeah, you've been flying.
I think that's 3 in a row. I don't know. I don't know what it is. We just seem to get up for those games, but I just think we sort of have a game style that Port struggle against.
They're very organized, aren't they? They want teams to play into their system, and UK play that chaotic style where it's just pressure based and too much.
I think they fold in those sort of against those sort of teams, and they showed. But to be honest, they weren't really out of the game as much. Their kicking was fucking woeful.
Yeah, if they kicked straight, they'd have probably won that game.
I have not seen a team that lackluster in regards to their skills for a long time. And it wasn't even just in front of goal.
No.
Like, around the ground, their kicking was, atrocious. And it's not like Port. Usually they're very, very skillful, very classy around the ground. So, off game by them. But, again, I don't want to just put them down. I think a lot of that has got to do with the pressure we put.
Lovely tributes to Sloan as well. It was really nice to see him there, and great platform for him to retire and be celebrated.
Yeah, 100%. It's good that they did it for him. I just want to mention Mark Keane, probably one of the unsung heroes of the game at the moment. He is absolutely phenomenal.
I'll say it after when you finish talking about him. I want to talk about his post-game press conference.
Yeah, that was funny. He's played only a handful of games at AFL, was on Collingwood's list a few years ago, got homesick, went back to Ireland, ended up getting another opportunity to come back and play AFL, and he made his way at the Crows, and fucking hell, we are very lucky to have him. He looks like someone who's played AFL all his life.
Yeah, he looks very composed and confident. So, yeah, you've got a hidden gem there, because they're hard to come by, those key defenders, and you've just stumbled upon one. Which, obviously, you haven't just stumbled upon them. You've done your due diligence as a club, but it feels that way because you haven't had to draft them and build them up. Like, you've kind of got a finished product. But
100%. And like, it was definitely a gamble, you know, getting him on the list. But, man, we were so in need of a key defender, and he's just, he's taken that role by storm. He's tall, he's big, but he's very athletic. He moves well.
He's not one of the bulky. He's lean. Like, he's strong lad.
No, he's keen.
Mark Clean.
But he the way he moves, like, his skills are unbelievable for an Irishman. Someone who's like very new to the game, is one of the best kicks in the AFL. I just wanted to pump him up a bit. I thought he was great. Another thing I wanted
wait,
to
just wait.
Oh let, yeah, you yeah yeah, yeah
me,
go, go.
Let
go.
Me get. Did you see his post game in the rooms? His little interview.
I did.
Mate, that was hilarious because he genuinely, like, and you could tell the three with him. I think it was Daisy Thomas, Abby Holmes, and maybe Burgoyne are with him.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand a word he was saying.
No idea.
Because I was trying to listen, and me and my friend Dan, who watched the game with me, we were listening, and you could hear every few words. So you just, and he's fucking really, it's just football, yes, and then he's fucking back, and then he's always, and then we went forward, and then he went, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, hilarious, like a genuine comedy skit, because the commentators are looking at him and nodding their heads. So good on
him. To be fair, I don't think he swore.
No, he didn't swear, but you wouldn't have heard anyway if he did.
No, you wouldn't have. So. Yeah, it was very funny. It was like, it's like listening to when Callum Brown as well.
Yeah,
like, the Irish accent's so hard.
So funny, so brilliant. But yeah, great win for the Crowies. Who've you got this week?
Brisbane at home, but we'll get into that later. Another thing, mate, I wanted to mention. It's been fucking rampant on social media, and Brian Taylor is such a fucking idiot.
What did he do
honestly,
this time?
The shit that comes out of his mouth. Jason Horn Francis got a ball inside 50.
Yeah.
And his call was, and here he is, the horny one.
He's been listening to your song of the week from last week too much, old Horn Francis.
Yeah, it's like a love and hate for Brian Taylor, because it's like, this is what makes him entertaining, because he says the most random shit in the world. But it's like, why have you said that?
I actually do like him, and maybe we'll do a rankings of commentators at some point, because that would be good fun. But I think he adds an atmosphere to the game. Like, he's got that exuberance in his, the way he talks about the game of AFL. So I quite appreciate it, but it would be annoying.
Some of the stuff he says is absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And one last thing before we get out of that game, because I want to mention this, or I want to ask the question actually in regards to Port Adelaide. Do they care about their players?
What are they doing? I know you're referencing Connor Rosie playing this game. Is there anyone else you had in mind, or just that?
Well, just historically, do they care about the well-being of their players? Because this isn't the first time this has happened.
No.
Remember last year when they tried to play a concussed Alir? Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It's really bad look for him. And Ken, after the game, I've put Honest Ken on the agenda, because he came out and he took ownership of the decision to play Rosie. But, yeah, I don't know. Terrible. And we both know. We've done hammies. You can't play the week later. So what was the bollocks in the build-up? He's going to play, and it was just a nerve impingement and this and that. Like, it's bollocks.
It is so, so silly. And just
reckless.
Like,
reckless on that part.
Yeah, and just the well-being of your player. Like, that's potentially put him out for longer now.
And captain. Like, it's not just a nobody that you go, oh, he wants to play, give him a run, which they should take out of the player's hands regardless.
And that's what I was going to say. I'm sure he was, you know, pushing to play, because you're an AFL footballer, you want to play, of course. But that's when you are professional and you go, no, we care about you as a human, and it's not worth it.
Yeah. You could tell from minute one, he picked the ball up. He didn't really want to kick it long, because he couldn't. He knew that he was struggling. And we both know you can do the test and then you get out on the pitch and it's such a different intensity to the game. So,
100%.
Again, take it out of his hands, because he's not going to be aware of how he really is, to be honest. So, very disappointing. And then you end up suffering as a team because you've got one slightly less player. Like, just drop 100%. Him and have a full squad. You'll approach the game better.
And look, I might be seen as being critical just because I'm a Crows supporter, but honestly, if this was any other team, I'd feel the same. It's a shit look. Like, it's not good. Care about your players. Put their well-being first. It's a fucking game. You've got other players in the squad for that reason.
Absolutely.
All right.
But yeah, that's the showdown settled, mate. And straight into, I think, the game of the round, this one. Collingwood v. Carlton.
Go on, mate. Talk us through it.
Or Carlton v Collingwood. The biggest rivalry in AFL, I've been told.
More one potentially. Of the most historic, anyway.
Yeah, historically, and maybe fan base wise, both close to or over 100,000 members, but couldn't get 100,000 to the game or even in the 90s. So a bit disappointing. Thriller. Absolute thrilling contest. Carlton got beaten by Collingwood, and Carlton were actually favourites going into this one. So, looked like they were going to potentially run away with it. Collingwood a few short, but they just played their system so well, and they nullified Kerno and Mackay for the most part, and just made it a Collingwood game, didn't they? Like, if that makes sense. They made it a Collingwood contest, and that won them the game.
Yeah, we'll mention this in the tips, but I backed Collingwood, not to just, you know, stroke my ego there, but I just saw that they were really starting to find themselves again, and a red hot Collingwood you don't want to face at all. It just looked like they brought that momentum from the last game into this game, and just too strong for Carlton in the middle to move the ball way too quick, really.
Yeah, and I don't know, Carlton just do this where they probably should beat teams and they don't, and I think that's the one thing they need to get out of their system if they're going to challenge for the flag at the end of season.
100%.
Nick Dacos, unreal.
He's a fucking star. He's a match winner, and he showed that in that game, absolutely. It was definitely best on. Unbelievable for them.
Great to see Jack Crisp go through the midfield as well, because he can move around a bit and he plays different roles, and his versatility can also be, I guess, one of the downfalls of his play. But when he plays in the middle and has that sort of intensity to his game, he's very good.
Yeah, probably been in a bit of a form slump as well, like even the back end of last year and the start of this year. So good to see him getting back to his usual ways with his run and carry. He was, very, very damaging. Just want to mention another good performance. Nick Newman was outstanding, actually, for Carlton that game.
He was, yeah. He brings a lot of fight to games, and, very good player for the Blue Baggers.
Yep. But, yeah, not good game to watch, and I don't think it's alarm bells for Carlton either.
No, they only lost by six.
Good on the day, Collingwood.
Kick 12, so yeah, far from alarm bells.
All right, mate, take us into the next game. This was your boys. I'm sure you were disappointed with this one.
Yeah, three rivalries in a row, and we ended with the Battle of the Bridge. Sydney, honestly, I don't have much bad things to say about them. They were just too good. Very disappointing as a Giants fan, but Sydney are just so good, especially at the SCG, that it's very hard to stop them. They beat us 98-69, kicked 14 goals, 14 behinds, to our 10 goals, 9 behinds. Just, outdid us in every way. They competed well, but another one where you need a roof on it, because second quarter comes and it absolutely pissed down. Spoils these games, spoils these very high contest games. And then they played the conditions 10 times better than we did. So good on them. Errol Goulden, absolute star. Not too much more to say about it. They were too good for us, and I'm pretty flat as a Giants fan. But we live and we learn on this one. So, the main talking point was McCartin. Tom McCartin, obviously, brother Paddy, is it?
Yeah.
Paddy retired last year due to concussion issues, and Tom McCartin got a concussion in this one as a result of a Callum Brown bump.
He's had issues with concussion before.
I was
going to
say third in the last 12 months, I believe. So getting into really dangerous territory. Of course, he will try and play on, I'm sure of it, but it doesn't look good. And the Brown bump, I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It was a little innocuous, but he's been given 3 weeks. So essentially, he's running full pelt across, and McCartin's got the ball or going for a loose ball. And as Brown gets near him, McCartin sticks his head out inadvertently, and Brown, shoulders him. But it didn't seem super intentional, like Powell Pepper, say, that one in preseason.
Yeah.
But they've given him 3 weeks. I'm sure they'll contest it, but I just can't see the AFL going down on this sort of one, because they're just trying to stamp it out as best they can, even if it's a little unintentional.
And look, I'm all for that. Like, if this is gonna, if this is what it will take to protect players from concussion, like, I'm all for it. Like, it just, we need to sanction it hard and force players to change their technique.
Yeah. You know, I love Brown, so I'd defend him to the hilt, but probably a bit off with his judgment of this one, even though he immediately looked remorseful, apologised, helped McCartan up and off the ground, but obviously not enough when you've already concussed someone.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that he went into that trying to hurt the other player, but yeah, again, we need to stamp this out.
Yeah, but that was the Battle of the Bridge. So Sydney have whatever bridge that is that they won.
Sydney Harbour Bridge, mate.
It's not. Harbour Bridge, yeah. But I don't know.
Fucking
one,
hell,
mate.
Sydney's that big, huh? A few bridges. All right, let's get into the next game, mate. I don't want to spend too much time here. I literally want to give this team the least amount of publicity as possible. They don't fucking deserve it. So St Kilda versus North Melbourne. St Kilda won, and that's it.
Yeah, look, nothing more than standard, is it?
No, that's it.
That is it. Okay.
Melbourne Geelong.
There we go. We're not sticking around on that one for too long. Melbourne Geelong, very good game as well, this one.
You didn't watch much of this, did you? I didn't see any of it, but it looks like it was a very, very contested game.
Of course, Geelong were always going to have their streak ended by Melbourne, who've been a bit up and down to start the year. That's just the way it goes. But Melbourne, the better side. Jeremy Cameron had a night to forget. Honestly, Melbourne looked very good in this one. Clayton Oliver looked back to his best, which is a very good sign if you're a D's fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ended up knocking off the Cats 74-66. D's obviously won by 8. Very composed, played the way they want to play. Harrison Petty was very handy, clunked a few up forward to take the pressure off. Caleb Windsor looks an absolute star. Not much more to be said. Stephen May and Lever both looked very assured at the back. And Max Holmes was a beast for Geelong. Yeah.
Defense wins premierships, mate, and they were probably the two best players, May and Lever, really. So,
I think Hawkins, 4 games without a goal, longest stretch in his career.
He looks a bit off the pace, like, finally.
I was going to say, but it wasn't concerning until this one, I don't think, because I think you're all right with it if you're a Geelong's fan and you're winning because he's taking one of the best defenders, but... Yeah, obviously now they've lost, there'll be question marks around it.
Yeah, I think he is, starting to become off the pace. But they'd be pretty stoked with the way Oliver Henry's playing. And
looks great.
And Tyson Stengel as well.
Stengel's back to his best.
Of funds. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the other Saturday night game, which don't really know why they do the old doubleheader on Saturdays, but that was West Coast v Essendon. Ended with Essendon beating them by 6. Which I think flatters West Coast a bit. I think Essendon were the better side quite clearly on the night from what I watched.
Yeah.
But yeah, very solid display if you're an Eagles fan. Again, promising signs because obviously they've looked awful at times in the last couple of years, but now they look competitive, especially at home. So good signs.
Yeah. The talisman came back in and don't know if the rest did him any good. I think it kind of quashed his momentum. He only got 14 touches this game.
Yeah, there was question marks about whether he should have been managed last week, but I think that was a good sign from a move that's more modern day footy, isn't it? Like, question marks about it. Oh, does he need to be managed? But maybe he did need some family time or whatever. He's moved from Victoria, and if it helps him stay in Perth, then I think they'll take it in the long run.
Yeah, fair enough. Usual suspects fucking ran rampant on this game. Parrish, Martin, Merritt.
Merritt.
Kelly was good. Probably his best game for the Eagles this year. But I just want to mention this boy. He's a bit of an unsung hero. He's, I think it's his second or third year in the league. He is starting to become a genuine superstar, and that's Sam Durham.
Mm.
I love watching him play. Like, he is a really fucking good footballer.
What he does, especially in that midfield, is very underrated. Like, that 100%. Is one of those players that is probably one of the first on their team sheet when he's fit, because he is a ball winner and he does all the nitty gritty things well.
He's a genuine hybrid player, isn't he? He's that, like, a very good hybrid midfielder. He's probably, like, to compare him with someone in the league, like, I think he's like a Bontempelli.
Oh, see, I was going to say like a Libba. When he plays in there, he seems really in and under.
Yeah, no, he is, but he's got such a good outside game as well. That's what I really like about him.
Maybe
that's why
Bailey
think...
Smith as well, a bit like that, because he can do a bit on ball and then can go on the wing or half forward.
Yeah. Just that real good hybrid footballer. And yeah, he's going to be a genuine superstar in the making. So I just wanted to bring him up.
It's unsung, the role he's having on their midfield and how that is attributing to their success. So, yeah.
100%. And yeah, he definitely doesn't get the plaudits I think he deserves. So.
But great for Essendon. Essendon play Giants this week in Melbourne. So I'll be there. And that's going to be a great contest.
That's going to be a great game. Very important game for both teams, I think. Sort of Essendon as a litmus test and GWS to fucking really get some momentum back after getting drubbed.
Yeah, absolutely. Into the Sunday games, Richmond Frio, is there much
non-contest
to say about that? Yeah, Frio by 54. Luke Ryan, Sarong, Brayshaw, the usual suspects. Richmond, my tip with them finishing right by the bottom is looking pretty good at the moment, I must
say.
It's
looking good. Yeah, at the start of the year, I was optimistic about them, to be honest, and I thought they were going to correct it, but nah, they can't seem to find...
Dealing with a lot of injuries, and it doesn't seem to be boding well for them. But another team that have corrected it this week alone is Hawks, beating Bulldogs by 7. Not many saw that coming.
Yeah, sorry, before we go on to the next game, I wanted to go back to the last game, because I think we didn't mention Elliot Yeo. Did he get a serious injury?
I don't know what's been confirmed or if anything's been confirmed yet. I think it was just soreness. I believe hamstring soreness or tightness. So I mean, it's been coming because he does get injured, but hopefully it's not a long layoff for him.
That'd be a big loss because he's been fucking on fire.
Yeah, he's been in genuine, like, Brownlow form. So, yeah, big loss
100%.
For them.
All right, yeah, we'll get into the Nurofen upset of the round now.
Sponsors waiting to be announced.
Talk us through it, mate.
I said Collingwood Carlton probably game around, but this was up there. I watched a lot of this one and it was a thrilling contest.
Dogs, especially last quarter.
Like, Hawks pressure was right on. They didn't fuck about. They were really up for it. And yeah, deserved the winners, I think, in the end. Kicked 14 goals, 14 behinds to 14-7 from the Dogs. So
yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. This was a very good game to watch. And Hawks were up most of the game. And then Doggies found their way in front with like 10 minutes to go in the last quarter. And then yeah, Hawks came back. So it was very, very close contest. Could have gone either way in that last quarter.
There weren't any major standouts for Hawks, which is a good sign, I think, because that means everyone's performing at a certain level. But Dylan Moore, I think he's co-captain or captain, did look very good. Looks like he could slot into any good side.
Yeah, we spoke about him last week. He had a very good game. And yeah, the week before, but he's playing such good as a half forward, man. Like, getting 24 touches is almost unheard of. So yeah, he's been brilliant, and I think he was their best player. Him and Jarman Impey had a very good game as well.
Yeah, he did.
Hagen came
back in, which he didn't really make too much of an impact. Him and Norton seemed to go for the same balls at times.
Yeah,
he got four touches against Hawks.
I've been disappointed with Jamara this year. I really thought this was going to be breakout year.
Yeah. I know he was out with some personal stuff the last few weeks, so maybe he's still reeling from that a bit. But you'd have thought he'd have had a field day against Hawks backline, and yeah, didn't get the job done.
How good was Lloyd Meek?
Meek was unreal. he was genuinely, that's one of the best games I've seen him play. I've been waiting for a game like that from him, so glad he actually took his opportunity. So to channel my inner Ross Lyon.
Playing against one of the best ruckmen in the comp as well, one of the most mobile ruckmen in the comp. He had a tough contest, but he played very well, and he's probably one of the reasons they won.
Sicily, an absolute warrior too.
Mate,
in and
Sicily,
out a couple of times. Shoulder was out, and he got a cut head.
Popped his shoulder out. He rolled his ankle. He did something else as well. Yeah, his head, and he just battled through. They threw him in every position as well.
I was going to say he was full forward by the end.
But he played really well, kicked an important goal, took some really good marks. Yeah, he's a star.
That Nick Watson back in as well, and he's got to have an early call for low light reel of the fucking decade. He seems to miss a lot of easy chances. So hopefully he can figure that out.
It's concerning with young players like that when they start to do those things, because I think that could be very dangerous in terms of how his career progresses, because I feel like young players especially hold on to those mistakes
possibly
a lot, and it could damage his confidence. And the thing is with Nick Watson, he's come into the league with the tag that he is one of the best finishers.
Like, yeah, he was known, it doesn't look
known
good.
For his known for his goal kicking, known for his finishing. So hopefully he can have time to reflect and understand, like, he's got that in him. He can do it. He's just, I think he's just got to settle his nerves a bit, because he's missing goals that you can kick, mate. So
if I can kick him, that means you probably can't.
It's definitely not a talent thing. So I would like to see Nick Watson get back up just for him and his career.
I think he will. You know, he'll kick a few goals and he'll figure it out. But not great early on, some of the finishes he's
you
missed.
Wanna, and you want to do it for the 6 foot and under club.
Yeah, absolutely. And final game of the round, mate. The Q clash to end rivalry round. And it was on 7:30 on a Sunday. And I'll tell you what, you'd have been in your right mind going to bed, because this was a snooze fest for me. Watched it and I wish I didn't. Hated myself after watching that game.
Wow, had that much of an effect on you, mate.
Yeah, well, I've hated myself before the game as well. I will add that. Okay. But hated myself a bit more.
Fair enough. Yeah, I watched the first half, and then I started watching Welcome to Wrexham while the second half was on. It was it was pretty miserable. Boring. And you know what? The weird thing is that scoreline is very generous for the Suns, because fucking Brisbane absolutely decapitated them.
A gutsy display, beaten by 34 points, 10 goals, 19 behind.
Yeah, and there you go. It should have literally been 10. They should have won by 20 goals.
Hardwick looked extremely frustrated for the Suns, because they're going to be this way for a bit, where they're good and then they're bad. And the I don't know, disparity between the two is going to be really frustrating for him. But,
mate,
yeah.
Death, taxes, and Gold Coast starting red hot every year, then falling away.
Yeah, it is a bit like that, isn't it? What a gutsy win for Brisbane, though. Lost, I think, 3 players through injury. One just before, Starcevic goes out just before the bounce.
Yeah, and they bring in a kid
who's played already that day.
Who already played that day. What was his name? Is it Harry Sharp? Oh, no, Morris.
Sharp was, playing.
Yeah, Logan Morris. So he played the twos that game. They called him up really late. Starcevic went out. Didn't have his boots, so he had to borrow.
He didn't have his boots?
No. So fucking Will Ashcroft lent him his boots, which were a size too small.
Oh, right? My word.
And the bloke just had a fucking cheat meal after his game as well. It had Maccas. So he was... He literally played
8 quarters
in
of
a
footy.
Size 8 quarters of footy in shoes that were too small, and off a fucking
on a Big Mac,
Big Mac, and played well. Like, kicked a goal,
he
took
did
some
well.
Good clunks.
Wow, that's unreal. That makes it even more impressive. And apparently didn't play great in the twos earlier that day, so went goalless for them, and they kicked a goal. But Lincoln McCarthy, very worrying. He went out to get Morris in, who was the sub, and was really just an emergency coming into the game, but Stašić went out early. Then Lincoln did an injury to get Morris into the game. War very worrying for McDonald. Oh, is it McDonald? No, McCarthy. Lost the fucking plot.
McCarthy.
Lincoln,
yeah.
Lincoln McCarthy.
Yeah, suspected ACL at this stage. He's had one before, I'm pretty sure. So not good. And that will be Brisbane's third ACL this year. But hold it there. Darcy Gardner suspected ACL in the same game as well.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's...
Mate, so that'll be four ACLs in one team. That is
they
incredible.
Were dropping like flies. Gardner's got a very set role in that team as well. It's like that lead up forward.
Yeah, yeah. It's that like third tall when he's playing really well. So yeah, fucking I don't know what's in the water there, but they're chocolate knees apparently.
Concerned.
But in positive news, like it is giving opportunities to young players, and that is that Revel? He
looked really good. Papa New Guinea boy.
Unbelievable. Really solid game. He had 13 touches, all kicks, and he used the ball really well.
Yeah, no, he was very good. Only the zero clangers for him, so great sign. He won't be clanger of the week.
No, he won't. So, yeah, hopefully those two ACL scares turn out to be not ACLs, but, yeah, we'll see come next week. You never want to see that.
Josh Dunkley, great role on Matt Rowell as well. Really nullified him around the stoppages, which is very impressive because if you're able to do that, I think you can really nullify Gold Coast. So, yeah, watch out for teams doing that to Rowell in the future. And Dane Zorko, 35 kicks in the game, one away from breaking the all-time record.
40 touches, 35 kicks.
Unreal.
Fucking
852 meters game.
And just to go on with Dunk, just unbelievable. Just to carry on with Dunkley as well, he's such a good footballer. He's got the rare ability that he can get so much of the footy, use it well, while also playing a shutdown role. Like, having a player like that in your team is so fucking handy.
He is a very good player, and he's been missed at the Bulldogs since he left. But that sums up rivalry round, mate. So how are you traveling on me, Allegram?
Done, mate. Yeah, to be fair, this one was pretty difficult this week. I think it was the hardest one.
You got it, though, have you? We'll save it to the end. But I was going to see if I needed to give you any tips. If you do need tips... He was in one of the rivalry games this week. And he does not play for a Victorian team.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good tip, mate. But yeah, like I said, I don't need it.
So, we saw Jacob last week, didn't we? We saw him. He's our resident expert. And he'll probably be joining us at another point in the season.
Not after the fucking treatment you gave him at the start.
If he wants to come back, that is, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into my weekly quiz.
Go for it, mate.
Let's have a look. I'm just going to full
screen. Let's do a speed round here, mate.
Just going to full screen. I'm doing it on my laptop, so I'm a bit unfamiliar with it, how everything is looking. Round 8 it was, and we've got key stats. First up, who got the most goals? Three players level on this
there was
one.
There was three players. I believe it was Gordon Hayward. I keep calling
Gordon,
him Gordon.
Gordon, yeah, Gordon, Splash.
Will Hayward. It was Harry Mackay.
Yeah, or Mackay.
Harry Mackay was the other one. And it was...
The big kahuna, mate. The big kahuna.
Wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Oh, fuck. I knew this one. What team?
Frio.
Oh, yeah. Treaky. Tracy.
Tracy. The big kahuna. Yeah, Tracy. Yeah, yeah, Tracy. Who got the most touches? 40. Zorko, obviously, mate. Who got the most marks? 16. Think touches, mate. It's quick fire.
Was it MP?
It was Zorko, mate. Zorko, yeah, 16 touches. And, right, I'm going to look at a different category. Disposals. Clanger of the week. We've got two clangers of the week this week with 10. Think allogram for one, and think a unit of measurement for the other.
Errol Golden.
Yeah, Errol Golden.
Which, there you go.
There's the allogram. Good work, you. Yep.
And a unit of measurement.
Yes. Fields what? And such. Land.
Yards.
Acres. Blake Acres.
Nice.
I've got to find score launches. I can't see them on it. Can I get a score launch? Rebound 50s. No, don't want that. Let me look in a different... Oh, possessions. That'd be a score launch, wouldn't it? Not seeing it.
Maybe scores, mate?
Yeah, I reckon you're right there, mate. You're on the money. Score involvement? Score launch. There she is. No, 5 score launches this bloke had.
Lloyd Meek.
Call him Rocket Man. It's Josh Dunkley.
Josh Dunkley, yeah. Fair play.
And also he was level with Clary, Clayton, Oliver. Nice. That'll do, mate. That's our quick fire for the week. We did our clangers. We did our score launches. On to next week.
Let's get into our tips, shall we?
Tipping time. Round 9. We're a third of the way through, mate.
We are.
Time is just flying by, isn't it? Thursday, May the 9th, at the G, home of footy.
We are not a third of the way through, you fucking...
8, 16, 24.
No, it's round 9, mate.
Yeah, but 8. We've just finished round 8. Times that by 2, 3.
Yeah, but we're round 9, aren't
we? Well, anyway, because we're not through round 9 yet, mate.
Another Thursday night game.
Carlton v Melbourne. Who have you got and by how many?
Carlton bounce back here. I reckon. Ooh. Carlton by... I reckon it's going to be close. I reckon it'll be like 13 points.
Likewise, I've got, yeah, in the same boat, mate. Carlton by 19.
Nice.
Geelong v Port at GMHBA. They don't get many there. And we've got a Friday doubleheader because of Mother's Day, of course.
Yeah. Port can't beat anyone above them on the ladder, so Geelong will win this one.
Geelong bounce back, comfortably back to their winning ways. No Rosie, always going to be problems. I'm with you, I'm going Geelong. Frio, yep. Dockers to round out the Friday night.
Frio versus Dockers.
Sorry,
tough
Frio
one,
Dockers versus Sydney Swans. It's been a long evening.
I'm going the Swannies, mate. They like a big field, and I think they're going to run rampant on the Optus Stadium there.
Very hard to tip against top of the ladder there. Swannies all the way against the Dockers. Hawks Saints, first game Saturday. Actually, I think this could be quite a close one.
It could be. I'm almost tempted to tip Hawks.
In
but...
Tassie.
Oh, they do.
Does that throw Tassie. A curveball? Beat the Bulldogs there last year in their last game at Tassie.
They play well at Tassie. I'm going Hawks.
Go on, you go Hawks. I'll go Saints. Essendon Giants. Spoke about it before. I'll be there cheering me boys on.
Yeah, Giants, I think, turning around this game.
Giants and Essendon's unbeaten run. Yeah, right there with you, mate. Richmond v Bulldogs. Fucking hell.
What do you mean Essendon's unbeaten run?
They are unbeaten for a while. Last few games.
Oh, last few games, I thought you meant.
Yeah.
Ooh, fucking hell, man. I'm not confident in Bulldogs at all, but Richmond have been fucking shit, so you have to go Bulldogs,
surely. I think Bulldogs are going to batter them here as a bounce back. I think they're going to kick... They're going to get win by 50 in this one.
Fucking hell.
Suns v North. Goodness me. Suns.
Oh, next game.
Oh, in Darwin.
Next game.
Sunnies it is.
Next game.
Collingwood v West Coast. Wow.
Yeah.
Collingwood have to win Battle of the Birds. And to round out the round, on Mother's Day, will you be watching it with your mother?
Probably not.
On the Hill?
No, probably not.
Okay. Crows v. Lions. Tough one, mate, actually.
Very tough. Very tough. We played them last year at home and we beat them mm-hmm. when they were arguably the best side in the comp then. Mm. Scary, though. It seems like they're finding their mojo slowly, Brisbane.
Yep. Who are you going?
I think we'll win.
I'm going Lions. Devil's advocate.
Nice.
Up the Lions. Let's hear them roar. Right.
Roar.
I mentioned it before, but let's just circle back to that. Errol Goulden was the answer to the allogram. Bloke's been unreal, and I love watching him. So that was my reason for picking him. Anything before we tick off there, mate?
No. Go the Crows. Maybe circle back to what we spoke about at the start. Talk to your mates. Like, genuinely talk to your mates. Don't just say, I'm going to talk to my mates. Just to have it as you're showing support. We need to get better as men. We need to change the whole culture in regards to how women are treated, how women are viewed from the perspective of males. And just because you don't hit women or actively engage in violent acts with women, some of the thoughts and some of the behaviors, even emotional behaviors that you project, are what the violence perpetuates from. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up again, and I hope we start having better conversations as men around that and do better.
Absolutely. Violence and abuse comes in many forms, and our attitude towards it is probably the main thing that needs to change. If you don't have any friends, talk to yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, and honestly, if you need someone to talk to, like, I know I'm here, I know Alex will be willing to as well, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Always an ally for the ladies.
Yeah, the girls.
And on that note, happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there.